Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Super Bowl 57, pretty good game. A game that was a blow-for-blow bout between two heavyweights here. And I enjoyed myself watching it. What about yourself, Mike?
There's so much that went into this game. There's so much hype around this game. The quarterback play, the offensive defensive line, like everything, yep. Honestly, everything lived up to the hype.
It did.
Except for, and I almost want to go back and revisit what we said was going to happen in this game, because the one thing that I thought was really going to happen didn't happen, and I actually think it's the biggest story about the Super Bowl, unfortunately.
Nice.
But you want to hit that? Let's hit this read first. Yep. Get some of all the housekeeping items before we dive into this game.
All right, let me get into this read by our sponsors from BetOnline. So basketball is back. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs. This season, you'll always find the latest odds, team matchup information, player news, game trends at BetOnline. So as your continued source for all the sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sporting events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even esports and golf. So head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BLEAV, believe, to receive your award. So BetOnline, Mike, where the game starts. And so, yes, what is that? I want to know what we hit on, and that was like the misnomer of this game.
Okay, well, the two biggest matchups I said in this game were the Chiefs' interior offensive line.
Correct.
Versus the defensive tackle rotation of the Eagles.
Yes.
That turned out to be a war. And it was huge. And especially in the second half, the Chiefs' interior offensive line moved bodies. Javon Hargrave got moved off the ball. It happened, right?
Yes.
And it was a big part of the game. The other huge part of this game that I thought was going to be the difference maker was Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham versus Andrew Wiley and Orlando Brown Jr. And Here's why, and we'll go into it on film, but the very basic premise was this. Not that the Chiefs guys are bad. In fact, they're both really good.
Mm-hmm.
But they set in a manner that allows you to take an edge. And it's just like a geometry question, man. Like, you're always, if you're going to give me an edge enough times, and if I'm weight, am I 6'1", Hassan Reddick's 6'1", 245 pounds.
Yes.
So he's basically saying, I can move from outside to inside faster than you can move from outside to inside. I can get that edge, and enough times I'm going to be able to beat you around the corner that I'm going to pressure Patrick Mahomes. And what ended up happening last night, this started with the second play of the game. The field conditions were so bad that they could not get footing. And it completely erased any advantage that the edge rushers had for the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs. It reminded me, when I used to wake up in Green Bay, we'd be over there at Oneida Casino's hotel. Was that a Radisson or something like that?
Yeah, Radisson. Yep.
Okay, so we used to sit up in the Radisson right before games. I remember we woke up at 7 o'clock for our noon kickoff game. Flanagan and Marco and I would go to Perkins and have breakfast. If I woke up in the morning, I pulled back the blinds and it was raining, I knew I was going to have, it was going to be a good day. It's like when you put peanut butter under your dog's jowls, right? Like, going to be a good day, Tater, right? Right. I knew it was going to be a good day because when the field's wet, the guy that I'm playing against, I don't care if it's John Randall, Warren Sapp, Albert Haynes, I don't care. They are now no better athlete than I am because they're slow.
Correct.
They can't move as fast. All of a sudden, I have the advantage. I know where the ball is going to be. I'm stronger. All that, I got, all the stuff goes into my favor. Mm-hmm. And so these guys, and it's not their fault. So I'm not saying like they're lucky or what. I'm just saying Andrew Wiley, Orlando Brand Jr., they went from being in a situation where this was going to be, I think, a real problem, particularly with Hassan Reddick. Yeah. Andrew Wiley played the game of his life yesterday. I mean, he was so physical because he was like, I can get a hold of this guy now. Wait a second. I'm 325 or whatever he weighs, and this dude's 245. Oh, no. He can't cut. He can't get around me. He can't use leverage anymore. He's going to fall. Oh,
yep.
This dude was on him all day long, and it made a huge impact on the game, man. I mean,
it
was probably the biggest impact on the game that, like, you just can't control for. You know, you don't know that they're going to spend $800,000 in 2 years of time growing this grass so they can put it in. It reacts like shit. I mean, it was it was garbage.
Yeah.
It's dangerous, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that. I mean, it was something that I was like, Hassan having plays, waiting for him to, you know, do something to get in there to Mahomes to test the ankle. It only got tested when the linebacker tackled him, you know, like second or third quarter where he's hobbled for a series. That was it. And so beyond that, the Chiefs did a really good job of basically, you know, like you said, with that field conditions, that made them – you know, able to run and pass the ball where they had a balance. And you talk about that. You're going to mention that here in a little bit here, just a balance of things, you know, where they were now, it seemed like they had a run game, you know, where they could have the defense honest, trying to drop in the covers and blitzing at times. And they caught them in some bad blitzes. We'll talk about that a little later too, in the second half of the game. So
Packers news real quick, yep. AG. Because there is some interesting stuff going on. First of all, Brett Favre went to the Jets, and now the Jets are calling about Aaron Rodgers. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's the stuff that's interesting to me, because I don't care about the Aaron Rodgers stuff. I care about how they react to it. And what they're saying, the information that's coming out, and listen, we don't ever know if these sources, until Goody comes out, until Matt LaFleur comes out and says it to the camera, we don't know if the sources are accurate. But the sources are suggesting that they are comfortable letting Aaron go on his, like, little sleep, you know, little darkness deprivation, light deprivation deal, and then coming back and telling them what he wants to do. And so I just thought back, like, I wonder if Ted Thompson, or I wonder if, like, Ron Wolf would be like, you know what, go ahead and take your 4 days, and we'll just wait around again, even though you kind of went through this last year, and then we gave you the biggest contract in the history of contract, like, we'll just go do this all again. I just wonder, from a leadership standpoint, like, I know Goody's probably trying to position himself so he's never going to be the bad guy, no matter what Aaron wants. But this kind of doesn't, and I'm a Goody fan, don't get me wrong, but this doesn't feel right given the what transpired at least last season, if not before that.
Yeah, I mean, and this is just, I think he has the PTSD from last year. Goody of dealing with that, the news, the media. I mean, we talked about it, you know. Yeah. We were talking about it all off season, and we saw it. We saw the stuff just come out over and over again, from being on the McAfee show to having his own conversation with people and interviews when he got back from mini camp, before training camp. It was a 6 months, 7 months of that. And so Goody is trying to place himself, like you said, the easy way to say, you know, I'm not trying to be the bad guy here. So let me just, go take your retreat. And then when we come back, we'll talk. But would Juan do this? Would Ted do this? I would say probably not.
Ron, I'll tell you what, Ron is not doing this.
No, Ron. Ron Wolf. Ted,
but Ron is not doing
this. Ron, I mean, respectfully be like, no, let's talk before you go. We got to have a conversation, because the way Ron Wolf worked off, he wants to get totally 100%, 1,000% prepared for the draft and free agency.
So he already knows this time next week at the latest that he knows where he's going in the draft, that he knows they're already working on the game plan for the free agency, going out to catch players that they need in certain positions. So for those two to answer that question, yeah, mm-hmm. both of those guys most likely be a no, just because I know how they worked in the offseason.
It's a narrative thing too. And what I mean by that is like, I'll give you an example. Okay. So when I go to free agency, when I leave Green Bay, mm-hmm. Mike Sherman calls me and this happens all the time with like, with guys they want, but they might cost them to whatever they go.
Sure.
And Mike goes, "Hey, do you want to be here?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, can you just let us know? Can you just give us kind of like a chance to match? And I looked at him. I'm like, "You want me to go negotiate with other people and then give you a chance to match?" You know? And it's like, what is he doing? What are you doing in that situation?
That was the same with me.
I'm like, no, I'm not doing that, right? Like, you just come with your offer. Because what are they trying to do? They're trying to take the narrative. They're trying to control the situation. And it doesn't make at the time, Sherman's, you know, head coach GM, doesn't make him a bad guy. It makes him really good at his job. That's what they want to do. But like, as a player, you want to always control your narrative, right? And that's what Aaron's mm-hmm. doing. And so you see this, it's just interesting because he's such a valuable commodity,
yes.
Not only that's to the Packers, is, yeah. but to everybody else.
To the NFL,
He's kind of flipping the script on this stuff. They're like, okay, well, this is how I'm going to run the entire narrative. And they're kowtowing, mm-hmm. it feels like a little bit, right? And just, okay, you go ahead. But the narrative, when we get out of this, because you remember, like, what Brett's narrative was like, it wasn't.
It was the team. It was more teams.
Yeah, Brett's narrative was more that, at least in my impression, was that he left disgruntled.
Yep.
And it was, you know, it
correct.
It made the team look better and him worse at the time. I don't know.
That's why I said it was the teams, because everybody in the Green Bay Nation was mad at Brett, you know, and confused, like, what went on. I thought it was, you know, it was a cordial, and now everybody's not, you know, they don't want him back and can't wait till we play against them and all this. I was living in the state then, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like hearing it firsthand from fans, and I'm like, y'all don't even know the full story.
Right.
It's two sides to a story.
That's the job that they did, right?
Exactly.
And what did Brett, going back in time now, what did he really want? He just felt like, hey man, I'm three-time MVP, I'm Super Bowl champion, I'm, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. I want a seat at the table. Like, I want to have some input on, like, you just got rid of a bunch of my guys. Why did you do that? Now we're no good. You know what I mean? Like, this, it's all he wanted, you know, just the communication. But so it goes. So it goes.
Yep, so it goes. And then they're going in with Aaron. So now they got to figure it out.
Next thing here, Rich Bisaccia is going to be back with the Green Bay Packers as a special teams coordinator. They're going to give Shane Steichen, who I used to play Halo 4 with when he was the quarterback at UNLV.
Okay.
Long story. My best friend was his teammate. We used to be hanging out at my best friend's house. I was with the Packers playing Halo with this kid. And now he's going to be the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Bisaccia is going to be back. So we get Nixon back. We'll get Bisaccia back. Not a bad deal for the Green Bay Packers, I think.
Not at all.
A lot of people are, you know, the special teams wasn't great in the first half of the year until they brought Keyshawn Nixon into the mix. And he started, you know, I think he elevated them to like 22nd mm-hmm. in the league. But mm-hmm. I think that the feeling around the team, at least from an outward perspective, is he is a kind of a culture changer. He is putting those guys in the, you know, the special teams is going in the right direction. So good to have Rich back, certainly.
That's good. Good leadership and everything else. Having that. An area ready to go. We know somebody's going to take care of the job, basically.
All right. Let's get to this, man. I don't know. I didn't even watch I didn't see all the commercials. I kind of had to go back and look some of the movie things, but
you can go on YouTube and catch them all. Go to YouTube, type in Super Bowl 23 or 57 commercials. There you go.
But it was some this good game, 38-35. So the over-under was 51. I had it at 57.
Me too.
Close.
I had 50. I picked 57. I'm glad I at least went up somewhere because I knew it could have been this. It could have been this drag out fight, or they got to Mahomes and now it's a NFC championship game with no Purdy in the game, no quarterback in the game to make it worthwhile. But it was the other way, thank God.
Let's just get this, the last play or the last significant play out of the way, because the way this thing ended kind of left a bad taste in everybody's mouth.
Of course. Yeah.
The way I look at this, and we're of course talking about the Bradbury hold. And Bradbury came out and said, like, "Yeah, like I held it. I hope they wouldn't call it. They didn't call it the rest of the game." And I think people need to understand, because he is acknowledging that, yes, by the book, that is a foul. That could be construed as a foul.
Correct. Correct.
But the other comment that he's making, and a lot of, I think, ex-players and ex-coaches are making right now, is it's like a pitcher in a strike zone. When you start pitching in baseball mm-hmm. and you throw one on the edge, if the umpire calls it a strike, you can pretty much bet that I can throw there the rest of the night and you're going to call it a strike. If he doesn't call it a strike, you can pretty much bet that he's not going to call that the rest of the night. And so in this situation, if the first holding call in a National Football League game comes in minute 58 of the game, it probably shouldn't have been called unless it was really egregious, because there are, as we know, this isn't like the Eagles and the Chiefs didn't all of a sudden stop fouling or stop using their hands or stop pulling jersey. They just didn't call it. They were going to let him play. And so to not let him play in that very, very important moment, where I'm sure we can go back and find more egregious examples of penalties than that one. I think that's the issue that most of us have, because, like, in my opinion, when you've got guys going out there, Chris Sims was one of them. Oh, well, if they got to play quarterback, or this is a real friendly offense, or, you know, blah, blah, blah with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has 370 yards of total offense, 3 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
And we were really robbed of him getting a chance to run a 2-minute offense to go back and tie or win this game at the end of the game, which is the Super Bowl that everybody wanted. Pat Mahomes is going to go down. They're going to kick a field goal. They're going to run a 2-minute drill, Eagles versus Chiefs, 2-minute drill for the game. That is what we got robbed of that chance.
Yes, they did. And, you know, you just knew, unfortunately, with that penalty that, oh, my God, they're just going to drag the clock out now. They're going to get in field goal range if they don't score a touchdown, which they almost did a few times. Mm-hmm. But the ball is in their court. Philly was down to one timeout, so now it's just a clock management thing. So that's the part of the game that it becomes, very easy for an experienced head coach like Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy on the sidelines to say, hey, okay, this is what we got to do. We make 2 completions, and after that, we're smart with the ball. Mm-hmm. And then watch the clock. That's it. And so that's where it boiled down to. It took a little bit out of the sails of, like you mentioned, just people watching the game and understanding, you know, where this game was like and how it turned out, basically.
You know, the way that this game started, and the Eagles go march down and score, the Chiefs score, mm-hmm. and you're just going, this is exactly what everybody wants.
Yep. I'm excited.
And then they have, and then just inexplicably, they have the 3rd-and-1, they get the penalty, so they go, I think it's a 4th-and-5, and Hurts has this random fumble where, like, nobody even touches him.
Yeah. It was just a part where, in as an option quarterback, you do the fake and you're about to do something else and you just don't realize your hand placement on the ball mm-hmm. and just lost the grip. It happens a lot, even with the better quarterbacks. When I was here in Nebraska playing with Tommy Frazier, that would happen off a play action fake with me having to get the ball out fast. So it was something that he and what I love was his reaction. Yeah. He didn't shake him.
Came back the next series,
boom. So that was the beautiful part. And they, that's a learning lesson. That is self-tape right there for any coach saying, hey, look at this. This is the big game. He made a big mistake and got paid for it right away. The team scored instantly on a scoop and score. But look at his reaction. Look at the next drives after that and the rest of the game. So that is phototypical coaching tape for any player, young player, even older player, to say, when you make a mistake, you got to show up after that and then play ball.
The stat, I think, if you want to look at statistics, the two stats that really stand out in my mind in this game are, one, the Kansas City Chiefs threw the ball 27 times or dropped back 27 times.
Right.
And ran the ball 26 times. So, you know, one, they only had, was that 53 plays?
Yeah. Yeah.
And two, it's almost 50-50 when they're a 65-35 run pass run team.
Yeah.
And I literally thought during this game, if they run the ball a lot, like I don't think they had a chance to win, because I honestly didn't think they would. I thought they would fall into that trap that the Eagles set, where they just play too high shell. They're kind of going away from who they are. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid is just a master play caller. But the Chiefs ran for 158 yards. They averaged 6 yards a carry in the Super Bowl. Yeah. AG, talk about it from a running back standpoint. They averaged 6 yards a carry in the Super Bowl on 26 carries. That's ridiculous.
That's a great day.
That's a legendary day. Is there ever been a day as good as that?
Right. I don't know. It probably is. Timmy Smith from Washington back in the day against the Broncos. Maybe
6.1 yards a carry, though. I mean, that's
he was a rookie running back. Right. He was a rookie running back. he had, I think, two touchdowns and over 150 yards rushing. So that was by himself. So either way, by himself or running back by committee or whatever, this is a great day. We already knew Pacheco was going to be Pacheco. He was going to get the ball. He scored a touchdown, which is awesome. To have that done, have him ready to play his rookie year in a game like this, that's just, you know, tip the hat to Andy and Eric Bieniemy. But to have that offense and Mahomes just doing things that was uncharacteristic, and I say the defense wasn't ready for that type of run style that he basically – he knew he had to do. Bad ankle or not, he was like, I got to run. I don't get this thing hurts like hell, but I'm going to do it. And that's where he caught the defense off guard, because they're figuring, okay, that ankle's beat up and it's been rattled again already. And then it was it's to that point where, you know what, you either jump or you don't jump off the cliff. And he had to jump off that cliff, get that first down, have that big 26-yard run to at the end of the game, you know, to get in field goal range. But McKinney did his job. To have those factors happen to a defense that usually controlled a team this time in the game, and the clock and the scoreboard, they had to buddy up and play big boy ball.
Mahomes, first of all, he must have took Toradol at halftime, right? I mean, we just that's the wonder shot.
I was being asked that too. I was being there, friends and family, that was over.
That's the wonder shot.
You ever take anything? Yeah, what you take them on for to kill pain? I was like, as a Percocet, and it was the one little, I can't remember the other one, but Toradol, that's a big one.
Toradol is it for me. I took a Toradol. I hurt my back about 5 years ago in a weight room. And when I was working in Miami, they gave me a Toradol shot, and I hadn't had one in about 10 years.
Yeah.
And I felt like for that moment, for that 6 hours, you feel like you're 14 again. I mean, yeah, your joints are just like, oh my goodness gracious. So it's real. Hey, for fans out there, it's real. Toradol is a real deal. Okay. Yep. So AG, we knew Spagnuolo was going to have to kind of guess right a couple times, right? The defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. And so early on in the game, he fires Holden through the B gap here, and they have answers for it early on. I mean, things are just going really, really well for the Philadelphia Eagles, particularly on this first drive. The one thing I want to – you just can't say enough, and the difference between the Chiefs and the Eagles, and going back to just real quick, because I think it's important that we talk about this because it's kind of show we are. Well, a lot of people say, well, you know, the Eagles and the Chiefs had to play on the same field. It's like, okay, I understand that. Now, let me tell you the difference, particularly on the offensive and defensive lines. When you look at the two tackles for the Philadelphia Eagles, you look at Jordan Mailata, and then you look at the all-pro, probably first ballot Hall of Famer, Lane Johnson. The way that they set very, very effectively for inviting, basically they're telling you you're running out of options and you're going to have to bull rush me. You're not going to get my edge. You don't see Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. You don't see a lot of guys trying to run the loop on those guys, right? In other words, they set back, they settle, and they're just kind of giving ground, arm fighting, and they're waiting for you. They want you to engage. They don't want you to try to take an edge. So you don't see too often with these guys that they're just going to immediately flat set unless they have help and they can force a guy inside. They're not going to just give up edges. Whereas Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Riley, they will do that from time to time, and they're not as fast off the ball as these two. So they do play a lot with trying to run the guy over the top of Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And the difference being in this situation, you see these rushes, and we'll show a lot of them today, where the Philadelphia Eagles line is like right in front of their defensive tackle or defensive end on every snap. And so Jalen Hurts has this super clean pocket where there's just nobody around, because those two tackles in particular do a great job of getting to their real estate spot under control. They can't get beat around the edge. So these guys have to end up, especially with a slippery field, they just end up bull rushing them, and it negates their power as a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's just making sure you're balanced from the ground up. We talked about it last week. Make sure your feet are even, where you can get in those positions where you can't get, you know, get beat on the edge or beat up with a bull rush.
You see the super clean pocket, and then – you know, this is just a real easy. They're going to do a run the crosser, the shallow cross to Devonta Smith. And anytime that linebacker or safety right there has his chest facing the quarterback, Devonta Smith's running across his face, you're just not going to make that play. This is just all remember when we double teamed Justin Jefferson, and we said the difference was when the safety turns his chest to Justin Jefferson, he can attack him. That's one thing. When the safety turns his chest to the end zone or the quarterback, that's just something completely different. And this is all happening a lot faster, right? But for like fans out there, when you're thinking about like, why do these plays work? It's really body position, nothing else.
Yeah, body position, and you got the speed element of Devontae Smith versus a linebacker. So, and I was just about to say, and Chiefs through this whole game was physical.
This
they brought Reed's the hammer.
He's a Houston Texan. He got traded over, man. This guy is great, man. He was great watching with the Texans. This guy's he's a hammer, bro.
I say that was another thing the Chiefs defense did. They set the tone with physicality. They brought it defensively to them. They told Philly, okay, yeah, we knew you're gonna run the ball, but we're gonna hit y'all when we can, and they did. And same flip for their Philly defense too. Pacheco got stood up. The guy actually spent the round once or twice when he was running hard, and number 23, I can't think of his name right now. Gunnar Johnson laid into him well in the third, fourth quarter.
So you see, this is really simple, and you know, Jalen Hurts, they're playing zone defense here. Everybody's facing him, but they still have zone responsibilities with the guys with the receivers in their zones. Excuse me, and you just see Dickerson just seals off that nose tackle, and Jalen Hurts is like, no problem. I see space, take space, right? And it's as easy as this. And again, when we're talking kind of offensive line play and how you think about things, when you're an offensive lineman, there's usually four rushers, so there's an extra guy. When you're helping, it's not about like just helping and being like that hand. It's about moving a guy out of the way and creating a lane for your quarterback, right? Or disrupting the pass rush of that defensive tackle or defensive end, or making sure that, like, for example, a defensive end doesn't want to come into the B gap ever again, like slamming him into the ground. But these guys do a great job of like creating that space. And so this lane for Jalen Hurts is just obvious and bides him time. And this is what he can do, right? He can get to that first down marker where a lot of guys aren't going to be able to do that. So they end up scoring on that drive. And we talked about it. Field conditions, man. This is the second play of the game, bro. Second play of the game. Josh Sweat. One, Hassan Reddick doesn't even have a guy on him.
They're both down. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, this is how bad the game was. I mean, I put probably 8 of these in here. I could have put 18. Wow. Defensive tackle. I mean, Javon Hargrave one time loads up just to get off the ball and just slips and falls face first. You know, it's that bad. Super Bowl game, Arizona, and they can't get the turf right.
Yeah, it's an arid desert state. And then I say another factor on top of that, a lot of players today, even skill position players, they don't wear the screw-ins like we used to. You know,
they don't want to, right? And they don't want to listen.
Yeah, I don't know why not. I mean, once I got to college, it was screw-ins all day on grass. And even towards the end of my career, when there were the new molded Nikes or whatever, Adidas were coming out, I'm like, it's molded. I say molded for me is Miami game or, you know, on a sunny day. But Green Bay to Chicago to any outdoor stadium, I'm like cleated up, especially if it's raining, that I'm doing the diamond stud that Red used to put in for us on a rainy, slushy day to make sure we did not fall at all, because that was prime stuff for us. If we can't stay on our feet, then it's a problem. We got to get it fixed on our own as professional athletes.
No doubt. And one thing that's nuts, and I noticed this when I was in Miami, because it's, you know, life's changed in the National Football League, and shoes are a big branding agent.
Yeah,
you know, whether or not it's the you know, my cause my cleat, or whether it's just that they're writing stuff on there all the time, or they have a special guy design their shoes. These guys, a lot of them, and I'm not saying this happened with the Philadelphia Eagles, but I'm saying this is a thing. These guys have a set of shoes. It could be a pair of molded shoes, and they're going like, dude, we're gonna be in Arizona, it's covered. They grow the turf, everything's gonna be fine, and so they don't want to change those shoes. And they'll go out in the first quarter. It's like, if you're in the second quarter, third quarter, and you're changing your shoes for the first or second time, you've made a mistake, because you should have gone out and gone, okay, I might have a problem here, man. Let's fix this before we get too far into this. Like, when you and I had to change cleats, it was usually because a damp grass got wet.
Got wetter. Yeah, better. Yeah, worse. Game.
Yeah, correct. It got worse. So the snow was melting underneath, you know, you have the field heaters, so the snow would melt, it would get soupy, or it was raining, it would get soupy. It's getting slushy, worse than it was in warm-ups, because in warm-ups, you'd go out and be like, oh, I don't care what shoes I wear, I'm going to wear the ones that make me play well. Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily that way these days.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem like it, because that was, like I said, as a professional, you'd went out on your own, and even the good coaches would be like, I remember Edgar would be like, AG, go out and check. I say, oh, yeah, I'm headed out to do that right now. So it was already in my head, because I know that a good me being a good running back is not going to be me slipping trying to cut back on 92 blast. I said that's going to be on me. It's not. Is it going? Why are your cleats in? You know what's going on? Red had all this stuff ready on the sideline. So I didn't want to hear that, and I never heard that because I went to Red. It after I do warm ups, come back in, he put the diamond stud in or whatever I needed to go out there and have traction.
No doubt. Yep. No doubt. So Gardner Johnson's down, and this is one of the problems. So they're in nickel. So they decided to play nickel against, I think it's just 11 personnel. And
yep, it is.
And they go with their five down line. Because they bring their other linebacker, they bring Hassan Reddick down to the line of scrimmage. They bring 57 down the line of scrimmage, right? When they go motion across, now Gardner Johnson's at the point of attack. And this is just good, like this is good scheme by the Chiefs, right?
It is great.
Anytime you can get Creed Humphrey on your safety and he's gonna be at the point of attack, like that's bad matchup problems for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? And Pacheco, yes. As hard as this guy runs, like you still have to create opportunity. Look at that. Look at the way the guy finishes, man.
Yeah, awesome. Picked up 5 yards on the punch through right
on
there.
On the contact, yeah?
Yep, on the contact.
So this is Kelsey's first touchdown. You just got to appreciate the craft. Yep. So he's got a snap release. These guys want to play man coverage, so they quickly switch leverage responsibilities as he goes inside in motion. Now he's just going to run like the –
It's a corner.
The stick nod. Yeah, he's just running his out and up, right? This is the old chair route when you're in high school, but he does it real fast like a snap stick nod. Yeah. Throws the fade. So talented, hand. Man. So talented.
This has that savviness of knowing when, even if it was a called route, still adjusting to the ball, because a lot of players you see sometimes don't, when the ball's in the air, they can't find it and can't get the hands into the right spot.
This is Hassan Reddick again, and we're talking about lessons learned from San Francisco. These guys do self-scouting. They look at other teams. They look at the opponents and who they played against, right? And so last week we noticed that, you know, we made the comment, I think, well, why would you not run like K4, K5 and run the tight end and the running back over against your best pass rusher, right? We said that a couple times. Well, they're running K4 here. They're just running K4 protection, which is a five-man slide away from the number call. So five-man slide to the left, and they set with their tight end, and then they bring McKinnon over, take Hassan Reddick on the inside here. So now you have double teams across the board on with your five offensive linemen, and then their best pass rusher has two guys on him. So you got man and a half protection everywhere else, and look who it is again. You know, Travis Kelce, six catches, 81 yards and a touchdown in a Super Bowl. I mean, the guy's a machine. Yeah.
And that might have been a play where Hargrove fell at the snap because I saw him just getting up as Mahomes threw the ball.
It's it really was insane to see how much they fall. So here's Reddick right now. If we snapshot this play right here and you go, is he going to win this? I go, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. He's got leverage. He's got his shoulder down. Like this is a win, but it's not. It's just he's going to fall over on the ground again. Because they just don't have. Any traction. You can't play edges if you don't have traction.
No.
And this is maybe another one where you go, you know, Mahomes is a great player. He's a magician. Reddick usually looks like he usually moves like a player that makes that play. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And it was interesting to know, I'm not sure, it was a lot of talking going on at the time when they showed a graphic of Jalen Hurts had switched with the shoe he started with. Mm-hmm. He went from it was a Nike Air Jordan patent leather. I'm assuming it was molded. That's what he has on right here in this photo. Mm-hmm. And then I think by second quarter, he switched to the AJ1 that most likely maybe had studs in there for better traction for himself anyway. So by halftime, he was in another shoe.
Play action passes the touchdown to AJ Brown. And again, like I just –
Great.
You want to give the Chiefs offensive line credit. You know what I'm saying? Like they're good. They're a good line. This is apples and oranges. I mean, this is what Jalen Hurts is looking down the barrel of. There's nobody within 5 yards of him, bro.
You know what I mean?
Like they're all on the line. This is ridiculous. I know they brought that. This is play action. They got extra people in, but oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah. He took one good hitch step and had all the room to get every bit of his body into that throw to get it to AJ Brown.
you look down here at look at the left tackle, and you just see how he's like how he has to back up. It's just not a fluid movement. And then you see Wiley out there, and Wiley's already opened up, and all these things. These guys are effective players in the National Football League. I'm not saying that they're anything of the such, but Josh Sweat has Orlando Brown Jr. beat right here.
Yeah,
again. And then you're bringing over McKinnon to chip off of Reddick.
Reddick. Yeah.
This is a completely different, it's a completely different game that the Chiefs and really everybody else in the National Football League would be playing against the Eagles, and the Eagles play against everybody else. You know what I mean? We see the Eagles play against everybody else. It's like five-man line. We don't care. If we're doing the play action, something, maybe we'll keep a tight end in. We don't do a lot of chipping. It's just a different ball game, man. Just a different ball game. Fun to watch, though. So this is where I thought, this game's over. This is second quarter, and Jalen Hurts pulls this one out of his hat, and I'm like, bro, I think it was a third and eight.
Third and eight, yeah.
I'm thinking this game's over, and then sure enough, they do this jump off sides, which that whole formation is just the biggest rugby scrum I've ever seen. I love it.
It is. They've got some education from – they probably had a rugby coach come in, or they watching film. Yep. And to teach the linemen how to scrum, I understand that process too. It's not fun, but it's what the grinders, what the big guys do on the rugby pitch.
So Willie Gay doesn't even touch when he fumbles the ball. And you talked about this before. This is a called quarterback draw at third and six.
Yep.
They're probably willing to get down. They get fourth and two, fourth and three. Even they're probably going for this. The statistics show it makes more sense from a number standpoint. He fumbles, and this is you get back in the game. You think about the two ways that they had to get back in this game. They had obviously the turnover, but then they had that huge punt return down to the 4-yard line. And those plays went towards the Chiefs.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney, coming back from the ankle injury in the first week of the playoffs, didn't play this last week's game, or 2 weeks ago, didn't play, but was able to get healthy and have a big return there. So, yeah, having those little nuggets happen, it painted a different picture of where this game ended. And for, like I said, Jalen Hurts did not rattle him, came right back in fire in the next series.
So this is the next series. This is fourth and five. And Jason Kelce has rightfully now is being called, the best pulling center in the game and the best.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to the Hall of Fame. He might be a first ballot guy. He's an amazing guy, amazing personality. I have nothing but respect and admiration for him, right?
Yeah.
But it's crazy, he's 265 pounds. So it's the narrative is he's this great puller. It's yeah, dude, because he's 265 pounds. This is what he should be doing.
Right.
If you want to go get Gabe Jackson to play center at 335 and be a road grader, go get Gabe Jackson. Yep. You want a dude who can just get around places. He's mean, he's nasty, he's super smart, he's technical, and he can move. This is your guy, right? So they're going to run this quarterback pull where they pull the center around to the left. We see this play all the time. And this is a fourth and – this is a big play.
Fourth and five.
Fourth and five, and they just gave up that fumble touchdown. And Hurts takes this out the back door. I mean, Hurts has 70 yards rushing on the day, 4.7 average, man. This guy is really, really unique.
Yeah. If they win this game, we already know he's a Super Bowl MVP. Got four touchdowns total production right there and helped. This did a lot for his team.
We got Fletcher Cox here winning. We got the chip up top. We got the chip down below. So both tackles get help. So they got a double team inside. Fletcher Cox ends up beating the right guard early. Can't keep his footing. Creed Humphrey finishes it off. Mahomes makes it happen.
Yeah.
It's nuts. So
that's why he's special. Yeah, that's why he's special. He's able to move the feet in the right way, get himself, and always keep his eyes downfield. I mean, that is something that is hard to learn for most quarterbacks, is to move your body, but then also keep your eyes looking upfield. And he does it. He makes it look easy. But that's just training, keeping it in practice. I'm pretty sure Andy Reid, Bieniemy, are always hitting on that constantly with Pat Mahomes.
When is Bieniemy going to get a head coaching job?
Don't know.
They're all gone now, right?
At this moment, yeah, I think they are. And Arizona, I think he's in a good Arizona? Spot, though.
Who's Arizona?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. Maybe not Arizona.
I don't think they have – they might not have a guy yet. Yeah. How does he – if he doesn't – I mean, I don't disagree that he's in a good spot. He's winning Super Bowls. He's got a lot of rings now. But at some point, you want to run your own show, right?
I would say no to that, because it's like, you're in a good spot. You're in a good spot. And if anything, you wait till Andy retires. Then you could take over the reins there instead of going somewhere and try to build your own thing, which a lot of coaches like to do. But I think he has it good there in KC with Andy Reid. Just another way to look at it, because I always look at it like, I always thought about it, like, okay, you've been a great DC or a great OC, and you just won a couple of Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to leave that spot when you're already making good money? The players already know you and love you, and you have their buy-in. Why mess that up? It ain't broke. Don't try to fix it. And then wait. If you could wait it out with the head job, for the head job, where you're at. You know, that's just one scenario.
Five more years, bro.
Right. True. And they're big. Any of me, he's in his, Andy's what, 60-something, 65?
Andy's 64.
64. So he'll be 65 by the time the next season starts.
So Belichick's 70, Pete Carroll's 70. So let's say six more years until he's 70. Is it worth waiting?
It depends on where his mindset is at. If it's something where he feels cozy at home, you know what? Yeah, I'll wait it out. But if it's somewhere he feels, you know what, I'm going to go and do it now.
You don't think he wants a job? You don't think he'd take a head coaching job?
No, I probably think he would. But I'm just saying, maybe one part of his mindset might be this, where he's like, I'm okay where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And or that one, you know what? Yeah, let's go out here. Let's reach out on my own. I want to, you know, do my job and build up a program, you know, and be successful as a head coach. So it just, you don't know where those thoughts are for an individual coach like that. Great guy, though. Great guy.
One of the questions from our listeners, the natural grassers that mess with synthetic, they grow this grass outside. They made a big deal about it. There is grass that they mess with synthetic now. This is not one of them. They started doing this with the Houston Texans, actually, when they opened that stadium down, Energy Stadium. They grow it on pallets outside, like on a separate field right outside the stadium, and they just bring it in. The problem is it doesn't stick. Like it's not born into the ground that it's being used on, right? So it's just like sod. It's like the sod pallets that are like, I don't know, 4 inches thick. They throw it on. They let it grow into the soil, but it doesn't. It's just not a good solution. We did this. Remember in Carolina, we went to that game. There's like,
oh
16,
my god,
there was like 16 lower body extremities because during the bye week.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And, I think we lost our first round pick that year, an ACL injury.
That was 0-1 season, right? That was 0-1. That was Jamal Reynolds. Was it Jamal J. Reynolds?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and because they lost Dan Morgan.
They lost Demo, that's right.
Yep, they lost to Demo. But to your question about the Cardinals, right now they're interviewing Jonathan Gannon from the Eagles. That's right. And also, I think they have talked to Bieniemy as well. So no coach there in Arizona yet.
You know, I think it's because
we tested.
I think no coach wants to go there because of Kyler Murray. I'm just being honest with you.
Right. I mean, if you got different mindsets, and that's unfortunate.
Well, didn't he come out and say like he's going to have a role in who they hire to? It's like, what? It's like, no, you're not that guy. Like,
if I'm a coach, right? If I'm a coach coming in, I'm not believing that. I'm like, you're going to have to show me. I was like, you're going to have to show me. What I was going to say was real quick. We were testing synthetic and mixed grass back when I was here at the University of Nebraska in 1996. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they, like you just described it, they would have it on another field. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they asked us to come test it out, like run on it, you know, give feedback from the coaches and the players. So that was my sophomore season, going into my sophomore season. So that's how long they've been testing this stuff out. So
they have, listen, if you go to Penn State, they actually have like a turf college. Wow. And they, no joke, in the NFL.
No, I believe it. Yeah,
there's
crazy.
And there's another one, I think, in Baltimore maybe. But they do all the rotational analysis with all the different cleats, and they rate all the cleats, and they, you know, Under Armour is worse than Nike, is worse than Blow, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And this kind of turf's better than this kind of turf. And they give, I mean, and it's all, they all do this, and it's big business. And they all do it in the name of player safety. And so that's why I can't let go the fact that this turf is awful. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it would be easy for us to just go, well, they made a mistake. It's like, no, dude, you guys spend far too much money on this and you promote it way too often to make it a thing for it to be this poor and to actually have what, in my opinion, is one of the largest effects on the game that you could have, you know, there's things you can control and things you can't, right? The players can't control that you put bad grass on there, but you could have controlled it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, that, yeah.
Let's go. Second half. The Chiefs come out 13 personnel. First play of the second half. Like this is what we're doing this half. Right? We're going to run the football. I think on this first drive they ran the ball more than they threw. And let's just put this out there now. The reason that Pat Mahomes is considered one of the top X amount of quarterbacks in the National Football League in the history of the league, we'll get to that after the film, is because in the second half of this game, on 100 is a QBR perfect score. Mm-hmm. He had like a 99.6. In the first three drives, I think he had one incompletion. It was a throwaway in the back of the end zone, and they had scored three touchdowns. The guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But is how they started. They start, and they run two tight ends on one side blocking down. They pull Thuney. They pull Kelsey. Bang, bang. And you look at this again. This is where you got to give the Chiefs credit. The Chiefs had to go five down offensive linemen versus five down defensive linemen one-on-one. And this happened a handful of times in the game. Everybody's on their own, and you're playing against a really, really good defensive line in the Philadelphia Eagles. And a combination of great blocking by a couple guys in particular, I thought Joe Thuney and Creed Humphrey won their matchups all day long. And that allowed Patrick Mahomes to find space when somebody else maybe got an edge. Fletcher Cox gets an edge here on the right guard, and he ends up, you know, of course, getting the ball to Kelsey again makes a fantastic play.
Wow, great catch.
You look at this again, man. This is like the first drive of the second half, and both of those guys are on the deck. Again.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's really hard, right? Because you don't want – we're not sitting here and saying those guys didn't play well because it's not their fault.
No.
But this is ridiculous.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's hard.
By the way, look at this.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that during the game.
He's just all over, man. He's
he was having some fun right there.
That's an experience right there.
Yeah, you know, he's like, I'm not gonna let you get off the ground and just destroy you here. But good job by Mahomes with the ankle, still making play, doing what he needs to do. He's just like, F the ankle, let's play ball. And that's what he was doing.
So for great pocket again, of course, right? It's absurd. It's just again, it's a different, they're playing a different game up front. But for people who say, you know, the Eagles offense is easy, the Patrick Mahomes, you make him play quarterback, you know, look at this throw, man. This is a cover two throw.
Yeah.
So cover two throw, meaning that the guy in front of so Goddard just ran like the short seven. The guy in front of Goddard is falling off of the outside route. From the outside receiver. He's falling
from the hard flat.
He's the cover two corner. He's falling off, and he has to throw it in that window. And like, some of the throws to Goddard, to a lot of players, but to Goddard in particular, you're going, dude, there's only a handful of guys in the entire world that can make these throws. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, he had about two of those to Goddard in the game for first and second half.
So that was a big sequence. So they scored, the Eagles came back, and they only got a field goal out of it. The Chiefs come back.
Yeah, that was big. That was huge.
Yeah, and this is where we start talking about 13 personnel, bro. And you see Orlando Brown Jr. coming down on Javon Hargrave, and he's looking the wrong direction. You see Joe Thuney's on the nose tackle. Nose tackle's looking the wrong direction. Like, this is when you talk about offensive line, defensive line, and guys dominating, this is what we're talking about. The interior offensive line moving bodies off the ball on a short yardage play. This is impressive, man.
Yep. And when you got people facing the other way, then you got a running back like Pacheco who runs hard, even though he's not a big kid. You start respecting and getting respect and getting the yards you need to pick up.
So this is the great first scheme of those two whip routes.
Yep, great scheme.
This happened against them in the Jaguars game. Self-scouting.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs, kudos to them for picking up. You look at what happens. So that when Tony comes in, Kadarius Tony comes in really fast. Both of those guys, Darius Slay, I think that's Maddox is the other one, the other defensive back. They're both kind of communicating and looking in at Pat Mahomes. They're assuming that Tony's going over the top. They're trying to tell somebody on the other side to pick him up. The safety on the other side is supposed to pick up the motion, but their eyes go away from Kadarius Tony. And this is the easiest pitch and catch they had all day, except for the next one, of course, right? But that's, good like job. You said, man, that's scheme winning, right?
Yeah, that's scheme winning. That's watching film of the previous games and doing the self-scouting to scouting your team you're about to face and say, oh, you know what? Let's change this up right here. Let's put a little, you know, like cutback here for Za'Darius Toney or whoever's playing that receiver on the motion. So motion, you know, instead of you going all the way across, let's stop it and come right back because they got to bounce the call. So that's where Andy Reid, somebody of his experience, they understand defensive coverages and the responsibilities that they have. And that responsibility was, yes, this man covers, and you got to bounce the call. He knows that, so they're going to start running to make sure they get to in position because it's rules they got to follow in cover two. You can't cheat, or in cover one, or any defense. You can't cheat, and they caught them, you know, sticking to those rules, but then getting beat on it for the touchdowns and into these touchdowns in the fourth quarter, in the second half.
Packers fans will remember, I think 2 years ago, Davante Adams did a stop and go across behind the quarterback, across the center. And it wasn't really beating Jalen Ramsey. It was actually, they switched it off. They made a mistake, but they ended up getting a touchdown on the flat against the LA Rams. Yeah. And Jalen Ramsey was livid, if you remember the play. Mm-hmm. And what happens is with these guys is the speed of the motion screws them up. And so just think about it from a real, like, just think about it from a man-to-man standpoint, AG. Mm-hmm. If I go really fast, if you run away from me really fast and I don't keep up with you, then you're just going to throw it in the flat. It's a touchdown. Kadarius Toney just goes across the touchdown, right? If I try to beat you across, my eyes can't stay on you. I have to navigate around linebackers. Mm-hmm. So now I can turn back around. So
the problem.
So this to me, as long as you motion quickly, I don't know how you defend this. Without switching coverages and having to box everybody in.
It's like when the back shoulder throw became a thing.
Yeah.
You know, when not, it's just done every now and then, it's done all the time. And it's never a throw that you can, as a DB, stop. Mm-hmm. You just gotta, you know what, make the tackle, you know, and then live to the next play. That's all you could do. So having that plays like that. You know, when I saw that play, I went back to the high school level. I said, just imagine a high school team doing this. Mm-hmm. Like a high school team would spam this, which is run it literally every time they're in the red zone, no matter what, because they know that DB's got to go over top and haul ass just in case to stay in front of. And then you do the cutback with your motion. That's an easy walk in every time.
No doubt. So this is the next series. So now they're going to put the ball away because this is third and two here. This is a big play in the game. And you see that they've walked you down to the line of scrimmage, and this is free intel. So for people out there, what does that mean? The tight end is a yard behind the left tackle. What does that mean to me? That means that he's going across the ball. He's split flow. He's far enough away that if that tackle kicks back, he won't run into him. That's the only reason you would be deep. There's no other reason for him to be in that position. He's not deep enough to insert into the A or the B gap. He's too deep to be a help on a chip. You'd rather have the guy closer to the line of scrimmage on a chip because you don't want to be on different levels. Mm-hmm. So their only reason, like, this is free intel for this, for Willie Gay. We flushed this. I'm surprised that they weren't ready for this play because this is one of the ones where Spags guessed right. You know, they keyed this. And I don't know if Willie Gay had man coverage on that and then decided to dog when he went backside and just decided, I see quarterback, go get quarterback. But this certainly worked out really well because they put this ball away to Kadarius Toney and they end up down here on the 4-yard line. Now we see the other whip route, and now you see AG, this guy just is like, no, I'm going to beat him across. What we just talked about, like, this is the other way to run this. Okay, we're going to go man, and I'm going to try to beat him to the spot. And it's like, whoops, you can't keep your eyes on the dude you're supposed to be covering.
Oh my God. I mean, that's just like, because you know you're doing your job as a defensive back. Mm-hmm. He's like, yep, I'm gonna get over top of him, then I'm gonna be right in his face when he gets the ball, either on a handoff or on a nice screen throw. But then when he plants, it's like, oh God, everything just dropped for 29 trying to get back to the area. There was nothing he could do about it.
You watch so much film, you know, and then they show you something that you haven't seen, you just go like, oh God.
Right.
Here's a Jason Kelce appreciation shot. So Jason Kelce, we're talking about him being the best pulling center. Watch this.
Yeah. I remember this play too. I loved it.
Dude, the thing I like about him the most is he literally never slows down. He's just like, he's so confident that he's on the right track and that his back's just going to make him look, you know, like he's just going to cut off him. He's never measuring dudes, man. He's just like, nah, I'm just going to run you right through. I'm strong. I have leverage. Like he trucks. Like, you don't see that very often where a linebacker gets trucked. That dude just got trucked.
Yeah, trust Dick all day. Yes, sir.
Loving it. Clean so pocket. Right here, this is that big throw to Devonta Smith, and so they go single safety. And again, I keep bringing up this pocket because I just want people to appreciate how good the Eagles line is, man. Like, this is ridiculous. But as soon as they see, as soon as Jalen Hurts sees single safety and he sees Devonta Smith is like almost hip to hip after 5 yards with the with the cornerback, it's like, dude, this is all you can eat go time. This guy is an absolute burner, man.
Yeah, that's probably what Joe Montana felt like with Jerry Rice. I'm gonna just throw this up deep.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So good.
More inside, it's a touchdown, but he still got it here. And that play is unstoppable.
The rugby scrum. And then this is what makes this guy special.
It is. This is. I mean, short yardage, you got your quarterback is going to get hit at the one or at the two and then push everybody with. Are you coming on a ride with me? That's what I used to tell guys. You're going to ride with me into the end zone. You're not stopping me on the goal line because I'm going to get it. And that's
I want to give
here.
Jordan Mailata a shout out here because, like, it sounds simple, but he has to make sure this edge is at worst a stalemate. And this is like his open side edge. And it's the key block of the play. And Jalen Hurts is super impressive here, but like Jordan Mailata, look how he just turns away. I think this is Frank Clark. He just turns his whole body towards the sideline. And all of a sudden, like now the play is going to work now, period. Because as soon as you get that body turned towards the sideline, that defensive end is not going to be able to redirect if Jalen Hurts decides to cut the ball up.
No,
but look at this contact, man.
Boom.
I mean, first of all, what is this guy doing?
Which one?
Who comes out of the bottom here? 21.
Oh, 21.
Bro, what is? Come on.
No,
bro.
He.
You 360? You did a 360? It's a Super Bowl.
That was Ole. He did an Ole.
Oh, man.
That was Ole.
That's tough, huh?
If he wasn't an Ole, he probably would have stopped him. But he did. He Ole'd. But this hit right here, though, fight. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you like that one, huh?
I love that.
I had to put that in there for you.
I like that because this is a defense. Because because the whole game Pacheco has set the tone.
Yeah.
To the Philly defense, and he's done the whole playoff regular season when he got the ball. This is a defense saying to Pacheco, "Hey, bro, we here. We're not going anywhere." And you have to do that. It's a mental thing. It keeps the game even because if you don't have safeties, you don't have defenders, linebackers, bring in the hat, hitting. And a clean hit too. Hit him dead in his chest. It was all shoulder pad right in his sternum. That right there sends a message. It's a safe hit. Then also, this is going to be like it's 4.5 minutes left in the game.
This is the drive.
Right. This is it. So this is where you want team players like him, like on offense. That when you bring certain hits like this, it doesn't matter. You got to do this because the game is on the line. And so. From a standpoint of Pacheco taking a hit, because it took him a little bit to get up, but he got back in the huddle. And Gardner right there, too, bringing that hit down there. He's not a big guy, but to bring that hit him.
I think he's a free agent. He's a free agent, by the way.
All right. That'll be
a pickup. What a pickup. That's
an amazing pickup. So great hit there.
I thought this is another one of those moments where I'm like, oh, like the Eagles might have him. You know what I mean? Because it's I thought he knocked Pacheco out of the game.
Yeah. Right.
Of course I did, because I'm an idiot.
No,
so this is what you love about Kelce, though, bro. So they do the quick motion out of the backfield just to move the linebacker enough so he's got to account for him. So because the linebacker doesn't want to get leveraged, right?
Yeah.
So he widens out, and what does Kelce do?
Just turns around.
Yeah, just turns around and falls forward and gets. I think it was 2nd and 8, and he got 7. It's like, come on, man.
And that's something I know. In film review, that is a constant reminder to Pat Mahomes to, hey, he's going to turn around because this player is going to do this. Like you said, the linebacker don't want to be out leveraged. So that linebacker is going to go to McKinnon or any running back coming out the backfield. Just popping around, Travis. And then Pat, he's right there. That's your first progression. Hit that. That's another five, whatever, at least 5 yards bare minimum once he catches the ball.
It's not sexy. So I don't think everybody runs it. It's not sexy, but people, it's almost like hot reads. It feels like they're almost running hot reads sometimes. It's like, I almost fall forward for 6 or 7.
That's it.
21 personnel here, third and one, big play in the game. Indicator, right?
Right. Staggered in the backfield.
There's only one reason this dude's up close, because he's going to attack that defensive end. Now, that defensive end doesn't know if he's going to try to dig him out or try to roll him. They're just gonna have that confrontation. But this is an indicator that you need to know, and you need to get on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage as fast as possible, because that running back is coming towards you.
Yeah.
He gets walled over. They pull Thuney.
Good hit again.
Big play, man. These are big plays.
Physicality, big run, but also big hit. I like the hit at the end right there.
So we get tight end help, and then we get Pacheco out here to chip off on the other defensive end. So both defensive ends have help, but why do I highlight that, man? Because Thuney and Creed Humphrey are locking dudes out in this second half in particular. Is this the play of the game?
Yeah, that's the play of the game. That's the play of the game.
Everybody talks about the penalty, but that's the play of the game.
Play the game for the Chiefs.
And then this, I was like, oh man, I wonder if he's going to go in, because you know they're all like, please score, you know.
Yeah, once I saw him when he got around the corner, he started looking around. I'm like, he's going to down it. I was like, that's some heads up football right there.
So they
not a lot of people would have not have scored, but
Andy Reid calls that church play. They send that in to Pat. And then Mahomes tells everybody, hey, church, church, church. So it means you got to kneel. You can't go in the end zone.
Yeah.
Listen, it was a fantastic game. I know it ended with a little bit of controversy. The one thing that I want to get your thoughts on was something that the conversation is going around today, I think in the media markets, is where does this put Pat Mahomes?
Oof.
On the pantheon of all-time great quarterbacks, on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, first of all, do you think he's on? And if so, who did he displace?
Oh, man. He's definitely on it. I don't know who replaces, though, but he's on it.
Okay, let's go through it. Ready?
Yeah.
Tom Brady's obviously
on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Tom.
Now, for me, this is me. Joe Montana is on it.
Mine's too.
Okay.
So that's same.
Now.
Tom Brady, now, Joe Montana. Yep.
Okay. Now we could say Peyton Manning. I'm going to go. I think for me personally, I think Patrick Mahomes is better than Peyton Manning. Why? I know Peyton Manning was a great regular season quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes has been to, in five starting seasons, five AFC championships,
three Super Bowls, right?
Okay.
Yes. Okay?
So for me, that trajectory, there's only one guy that has that trajectory. The only reason Joe Montana was perfect in Super Bowls, right? He's Michael Jordan. Okay.
Aaron Rodgers
has nowhere near the level of postseason success. It's not only that, but it's also the skill set, the athleticism, everything. But if you start comparing Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes, they're pretty close skill set wise, I think. A lot of people might say that. Now you start looking at the postseason. A lot different, man. It looks a lot different.
Yeah. And I'm pretty much on the same level with you in terms of Peyton and then him being replaced by Pat Mahomes, because it just is from his athletic ability. I knew right away when he became the starter after Alex Smith went down with the terrible knee injury, but was able to come back from it. Once I found out he had a baseball background, that his dad played ball and he played ball, I knew right away. I don't know. I said his threshold is a lot higher than a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because I played baseball. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you play baseball, it just brings on a different thing about when you look at football and what you know from baseball, especially throwing the ball. You know how to throw the ball. Like when I would talk with Coach Sherman, when we were doing, you know, before we did the halfback pass, I was like, I could throw. I said, I play baseball. I could throw. I know how to throw. I know when not to throw. You know, I could read a coverage, and if it's double coverage over top, you know, they got safety, they're bracketing, I'm not going to throw the ball. I'm going to just run and get what I can, or just throw the ball out of bounds, you know?
Hey, you know? You're giving a master class on throwing with Sherman.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, because I wanted to throw the ball. You know, we got to give them something different. We running the ball all the time. But to that point, though, you look at every quarterback that has a baseball background right now, which is a lot. Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Pat Mahomes, a few other guys. And it brings a different mentality. And then also, not only the baseball, but his dad was there all along the way, showing him and teaching him ways to be a professional, bringing him into the locker room, bringing him into the pitching area out there in the outfield, you know, bullpen. So he talked about stories that his dad would bring him into the bullpen, hanging out with professional Major League Baseball players. And if one sport that's more cerebral than anything, I would say it has to be baseball. You know, in terms, it's a thinking man's sport. You got the manager.
You're in your own head. You're in your
all
own head
the time. Work. Yeah, all the time. Yeah, I mean, for the year. I mean, I played up to high school level, and I was always thinking about, you know, scenarios in terms of if I catch the ball, I'm the center fielder. I got a guy on second. We're down. You know, I'm thinking through that. You know, as a 13-year-old, like, what's that process? If I catch the ball, who I'm going to with the ball to get the out or try to force the runner here? You know. It's your thing. And so now that's where you see in Pat Mahomes, you see his professionalism, you see his preparation before and after games, how he thinks, and even in his post-game interview, how he's saying, I'm telling my player, you know, my teammates that we're going to do this. We're going to score. We're going to win. We're going to have to play like this and
he's
get
got
through
a lot
the,
of boys.
Yes, right? Never, you know, very rarely rattle. And if anything, he's looking at himself first. He's looking inward for a mistake. I made that was a bad throw. Yeah. That was a terrible throw. I shouldn't have thrown that. I thought I could get ready with it. I didn't get away with it. We had to pay for it. Now I'm going to look at film and fix it and get ready for the next game. And that's what you saw from him through that game and through this season and through every season. And so that's where he's on that on the Mount Rushmore right there.
Yeah, John Elway, Brett Favre, Dan Marino. You say there's these great players, and you start going, all right, well, errors and rules that are allowed and not allowed, all the Trent Dilfer talk and everything. But
yeah.
But God, this guy is so good, man. He's so
this is another athletic level. You know, that the scrambling part that brings his game to a whole different level and the knowledge along with it. So it's special. That's why they're paying him $500 million.
Okay, so here's the other one. So Jalen Hurts, I don't know what anybody's going to say about Jalen Hurts now.
I mean, nothing bad. They better not say nothing bad.
Who's better than Jalen? Okay, Pat Mahomes is better than Jalen Hurts.
That for one game. That's it.
But now that's why I guess that's what I'm saying. So when Jalen Hurts goes to the front office this year, and I don't know that he's going to ask for the most money, but you know, you start looking at like, okay, do you want right now? Do you want Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson?
Oh, I mean, I like both.
Yeah, you can like both.
Hurts.
Which one?
Yeah, I'm going Hurts.
Okay, Josh Allen. Hurts.
Ooh,
Josh, what is there to think about, man?
Josh, is it? I'm just getting it, processing it. That's
you know,
all.
But
that's
you know what I'm saying. I mean, you look at how he finished this season. Look how Jalen Hurts finished this season. I'm talking about this year, right now.
Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence, as good as Trevor Lawrence is, Justin Herbert.
Oh, you mean over Jalen?
Over Jalen. Yeah. Like I don't take any. Yeah. The only guy I would take over Jalen, honestly, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow looks like Joe Montana to me.
Yeah, and Joe Burrow has that sneaky scrambling ability that people are really underrating him on. He can get out the pocket. He can run with his legs. He chooses not to. But when he had to, you saw it in the playoffs. He made a couple moves, juked the DB or a linebacker, got upfield. And that's where Philly defense got caught off guard with Pat Mahomes and that ankle. Mm-hmm. They figured, oh, he was hurt. He can't accelerate. And you know what? When his life was on the line, and he said, you know what, even if I hurt my ankle more, I'm getting this first down. Yeah. I'm getting in field goal position. I'm putting my team in a chance to win. And that's what he did.
Last thought.
Yes.
What did you think of the halftime show? Be honest.
Be honest? No, I liked it.
Okay.
I was good with it. The only part, not a negative thing. I just knew that with the two songs at the end to wrap it up, mm-hmm. one was a Kanye song and one was a Jay-Z song. And I was like,
Nobody showed up.
I would love to see Ye come out, mm-hmm. but we already know what's going on with him.
Which would have made it better.
Jay-Z was in the stadium. He was in the stadium. And he mm-hmm. could have came on down mm-hmm. and joined her on the stage. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only thing. Other than that, great performance. Great performance for me. What about yourself?
I liked last year's.
Okay. Well, oh, yeah. Yeah, that was Dr. Dre.
I preferred last year's.
Eminem, Dr. Dre, 50, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, yep. Snoop Dogg. Yeah.
That's more my style.
That's my all-time. Now, that's my all-time right there. My number one Super Bowl performance. Number one is Dr. Dre and them, and then number two is Whitney Houston, Dallas, Buffalo, 1988 or 1990 or whatever it was. 90.
You're talking about that's the national anthem, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. It was so good. You know, I wish it was a halftime show.
It was good.
It was great.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, man. Good show. Good job. Let everybody know where they can find you at on
Mike Wall 68 on Twitter, TikTok, Process to Perform on Instagram. Pleasure as always doing business with you here, my man. We'll figure out the schedule, as I know we have a lot of Packer information coming up that we'll need to talk about, but we'll figure out our schedule here soon.
All right. Sounds good. And you can find me on Mondgreen 30 on Twitter and Instagram, and a Mondgreen Gamers Lounge on TikTok. Check us out there. All right. Have a good day. See you later. See you
I'm
next.
Just happy. I'm happy that we're back to a Mondgreen 30. Honestly.
You like that?
So much better.
It was like half the screen.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.